The first one is the relationships. How you feel with your manager, how you feel with the people next to you on the line, and how you feel with the people that you share your meal with. But most important one is your manager. A manager is accountable for 70% of an employee's engagement. As simple as that. People don't leave companies, they leave manager. So if you have a crappy manager, you're going to be gone. If you work for a crappy company, but you have an amazing manager, you're going to stay.
Welcome to B2B Commerce Uncut, a journey through change. On this podcast, we have honest, hard-hitting conversations with thought leaders, distributors, and innovators in digital commerce and transformation. We explore not only the success, but also the challenges that manufacturers, distributors, and wholesalers can face in achieving successful digital transformation for their companies. This episode is brought to you by Oro, a leading innovator and provider of customer-driven, powerful and connected open source software for B2B digital transformation. Oro seeks to build long-term, trustful relationships with its customers, integrators, developers, and technology partners by empowering people with the best tools to digitalize their business. Find out more at oroinc.com. That's OROINC.com. And here's your host, Aaron Sheehan.
Welcome back to the B2B Uncut podcast. I am your new host, Aaron Sheehan, filling in for and maybe replacing the fantastic Sawyer Frank, or Frank Sawyer, if you like to reverse his name. Sometimes I do, just to mess with him a little bit. I am happy to be hosting the podcast, and I'm very happy to have Simon Rakosi with me from Butterfly AI. He has some very interesting thoughts on workforce management for manufacturers, distributors, about supply chain automation. I think we're going to get into some interesting conversations about the future of how AI and automation is impacting today distribution centers and factory floors around the globe. So without any further ado, Simon, why don't you introduce yourself?
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you. I'm Simon. I am the co-founder of Butterfly.ai. Myself and couple of other guys, Marcus and David, created the company around 7-8 years ago now. Wow, it's crazy how the time flies. And we really focus around the world of supply chain and front-end workforce only around the past 5 years, I want to say, when we really saw the gap in terms of collecting real-time insight from people on the floor. Lots of companies were doing surveys for the corporate employees. And to be honest, that's how we started, like doing pulse surveys, providing insight directly to the hands of the managers, because that was based on our own experience. But very quickly in the journey of the company, we forked out of the world of corporate to really focus about the world of front-end workforce. And that's what we've been doing for the past 6-7 years.
So for your customers and your clients, what problem is Butterfly solving? I understand the frontline team, understanding your workforce. What, when they come to you, what is it that they're trying to solve for?
Often they have no way to actually collect real-time insight from the teams. Some companies said, hey, we do a once-a-year survey. We know everything that is happening. But the challenge is that this type of workforce have a very high turnover. So the average turnover is around 55%. So if you do a once-a-year survey, over half the people are gone by the next time you do it again. Number one. Number two, 65% of employees do not speak the language of the manager. So there is this very big barrier of communication. So we have to make sure that whatever question we ask, they're always in their own language, I want to say. But in terms of the topic as well, like if you think about the world of corporate, we ask questions about leadership, we ask questions about directions of the company. This type of workforce don't really care much for it. It's all about the day-to-day. How can we make the day-to-day better? How can you recognize me as a person? How can you acknowledge my presence? How can you make sure that you treat me as a person? So when we start engagement with customers, the biggest challenge they have is usually turnover, followed by absenteeism. And often a byproduct is safety incidents and often productivity. And that's what tied in nicely around the world of employee engagement.
That makes complete sense to me. I think I'd love to hear a little, maybe a story or anecdote from you about how a customer, maybe someone who is listening to this podcast, so someone in distribution, someone in manufacturing, a supplier, has used your tool or used a tool to solve a problem. Because I know I speak to a lot of people in this industry. It's funny, when you're a technology vendor like Oro Commerce is, people usually want to come in and start talking about technology. They want to talk about EDI. They want to talk about ERPs. They want to talk about e-commerce platforms and marketplace software. But if you scratch the surface of that conversation, it becomes this conversation about people very quickly. Yeah. Because all of this automation and technology is ultimately still run by and run on behalf of buyers, customers, and of course, operated by the people that the frontline employees who were picking and packing and manufacturing the goods. So give us an illustration of how someone might use you or how someone has used you in real life to solve a problem.
So I think the topic of automation is interesting. I was at a conference recently, and I think a big turn that happened over the past year is, let's say last year, people were still testing out automation. Now it's been a proven concept. Automation works. So I would say in terms of the buying cycle, it's not the people testing it out anymore. You're going to have a lot of investment happening in automation. That's going to happen. There is no way around it. However, one thing that I want to put out there is when you automate a warehouse, the one thing that you're going to lose is flexibility. And that's what people bring. If you have a big influx in orders, if you're already at capacity of 95%, you can only increase it by 5%. Whereas the people are going to give you the flexibility to go beyond your current utilization, if I may say. People are always going to be in warehouses. People are always going to be in manufacturing plant because they bring this flexibility. Another thing I would add, when you think about the world of automation, retention becomes even more important because now as part of the process of onboarding new employees, it's not only about learning about the policies, learning about the safety training, but it's about how to use machines, how to use robots, how do you fix them? So the onboarding cost is going to be more expensive and therefore the ramping up period as well will be longer. Today, it takes around 90 days for an employee to be fully onboarded and fully productive. When you add automation to the mix, this is actually going to expand because you need to add more to the training. And when you do that, it means you invest more money upfront than you did before. And therefore, the retention of employees is very important and is going to become more and more expensive. So any people you can keep longer, going to yield a higher return on your investment. So that is kind of the parenthesis I want to bring in. Now, in terms of real example, oh God, there is a lot of them. Because when we think about the world of employee engagement, what I like to say is when you have an engaged workforce, they're going to give you the discretionary efforts. It's the same if you have somebody to raise their hands. Naturally, people will go like this first, but you guys hire, and actually nobody starts like this from the get-go. Everybody goes like this. And that's employee engagement. The more engaged they are, the more likely they're going to raise their hand all the way to the top. And that's what we've seen with a few clients. So one example that comes to mind, I mentioned the world that I like personally about the frontline workforce is the diversity of culture. And as well, if you think about the US, the world of logistics and supply chain is one of the biggest hiring verticals for every new immigrant because you don't necessarily have to be fluent in English. You have just to do the job and then hopefully you're going to grow in your career at the same client. But one thing I learned with one of my clients that was quite interesting, when they started working with Spotify, the first time that they could actually reach out to employees in their native languages. The employees actually, through the platform, I won't say almost raise their hand on how they can optimize the space, saying, well, it makes no sense that this type of employees work on these machines where they should be working on this machine. What they didn't realize is that this person back home, who doesn't speak a word of English, was actually the equivalent of an industrial engineer and spent their whole life before immigrating actually working on floor plans to optimize the space. But for the first time, by collecting real-time insight and feedback from that employee and actually from all employees, they actually realized that there were a lot of gaps they could fill in quite easily. So they started to listen in. They include that person as part of a few more conversation optimization. And what actually that resulted in is actually a gain in productivity. Because that person, by just making a few changes and few recommendations, was actually the eyes on the floor on how things could be optimized, and they had experience doing that. Another one that we've seen, it's a manufacturing company. During COVID, they had a huge disconnect. Everything's doing great. But when there is COVID, nobody can travel and see how bad it was. So when they implemented Butterfly, one of the things they wanted to look at was actually have no filter between the employees and senior leadership to know exactly how things were going. And what really transpired was that GM was withholding a lot of information of things that were not doing so well. They had the highest turnover across the whole group. They didn't have any fulfilled position at 100% for the past 3 years because people were quitting and they could not replace them fast enough. And for the first time, they got access to that information, came in sight, realized about how terrible that manager was, decided to make some changes. But what they were very smart about it was instead of recruiting from outside, they brought somebody from the inside, promoted her as a GM. And for the first time in 4 years, they had 100% seat occupation in terms of fulfilled position. Turnover went down by around 40% within 9 months. And all of that starts by just giving a voice to employees.
This is really interesting to me because, again, going back to Oro Commerce is a B2B e-commerce platform. Customers engage with us around technology. I've been a technologist for a long time. And I can tell you that there's so much conversation in my world, Simon, that is around knowing the buyer, knowing the customer journey, personalizing the buyer journey through a quoting process or through a browse to buy or cash to quote process. And what's fascinating about this is how underserved I feel like the workforce management piece of it is. But the efficiencies that you're talking about here that are being realized by your clients, by anybody that's talking to their employees, are frankly in excess of what a lot of times the buy side technology is going to deliver, because turnover has a cost. Right. And competent, happy employees make you, they push past your growth projections and are able to deliver more value. This is really interesting.
And that was very illuminating for us. And the reason we moved to this market is because we are data people at heart. And when you can translate the gain to the prospective clients or prospect, I want to say, it's a much easier conversation. Like before, we were serving the frontline workforce. Good luck to tell a marketing agency, they're going to be 20% more productive. What does that mean? Less emails, more meetings, less time to create a project. Whereas here, like, we are talking about tangible gains. On average, our customers see a return on the investment within the first 5 months. Within 5 months, they already paid back for what they pay us. Before this call, actually, I was with a prospect. They recruit an average of 400 to 500 people a month. It costs them a few hundred dollars a month just to recruit these people. They spend every month around $80,000 to recruit someone, the whole pool. Add to that a 60-70% turnover. Our platform would be costing them maybe 15% of that. And by just reducing the turnover by 5%, not even like what we do for other clients where it's like close to the 30-40%, they pay back the product in 4 months. And it's all start by asking questions, how are you doing? And like we like to say during training, you can ask somebody to work in a warehouse to operate a machine all day long. Or you can ask somebody, hey, we need to fulfill 1,000 order within the hour. If you can do that well, you're going to help us achieve that number by 80%. So you start to bring accountability and empowerment to the employee, because often people ask what actually influences happiness, engagement in the workplace. There are two main things. The first one is the relationships. How you feel with your manager, how you feel with the people next to you on the line, and how you feel with the people that you share your meal with. But most important one is your manager. A manager is accountable for 70% of an employee's engagement. As simple as that. People don't leave companies, they leave manager. So if you have a crappy manager, you're going to be gone. If you work for a crappy company, but you have an amazing manager, you're going to stay. And that's often the case. It's not rare to hear people saying like that, this manager is like my mentor. And that's what you want to have, leaders. The second part is what we like to call having an interesting job. And what does that encompass? It's about being able to measure the impact that you have, being able to feel that you are growing as a person, being able to be recognized and acknowledged for the work that you do. And when I say recognize, I'm really not talking about salaries. Like salary being paid, often you're going to hear in the world of supply chain, people quit because we don't pay them enough. Well, pay is not even coming in the top five of the reason why people leave.
This is interesting because I was on a call actually earlier today, this morning that we're recording, with somebody that's been in the supply chain business for many years. And he gave a really good analogy for this. He said that, I may mess this up a little bit, but imagine that you have two doors and can walk through either a door to your left or the door to the right. You open the door to the left and you look at it, and there's a long wooden plank on the floor. And at the end of the wooden plank is somebody with money. And they say, if you can walk across this plank in 7 seconds, I will give you the money. Open the other door, and the plank is actually balanced between two high-rise buildings, 10 stories in the air. And there's somebody with a gun. And they say, I'm going to shoot you if you don't walk across this plank in 7 seconds, and you could fall to your death. From an industrial engineer, it's the same task, walk across the plank in 7 seconds. So the outcomes should be the same. But what you're saying and what he was saying, obviously, is that the context of where you do your job matters, and your ability to want to continue doing that job. It doesn't matter. The job is not the important part. It's everything around it, the context in which you're asking somebody to do it. And what you're saying about Butterfly and frontline employee sentiment analysis is that this can tell you, are you the company that is door to the left or the company that is door to the right? Because door to the right, a lot of people are falling off the plank, and it's costing
100%.
Well, it's bad, but it's also costing you a lot of money. So that's fascinating.
The one thing I would add there is environment is very important. The burnout in the supply chain industry is real. Most importantly, if you think about now the employer, if you don't like a manager, you are three times less likely to recommend your employer. The manager is really key and essential part of any type of organization. And the challenge in this industry is that often people get promoted because they're great individual contributors. I heard some of my clients that said that people got promoted because they got always on time, but that doesn't make them good managers. And if you think about the role of a manager being so important, this industry is really tough for managers. Like if you think about the corporate setting, the ratio manager to employee is 1 for 8 at most, because you cannot manage more people than 8, to be honest. Well, this workforce is 1 for 25, if not 1 for 50. So the ratio is already off balance. Mm-hmm. Second, in an office, even remote, you can reach out to your manager at any given time. Either you walk to the desk or you reach out to him or her through email, through Slack, and in an instant, you can have a conversation. Warehouses that are above 1 million square feet, even the hundreds of thousands, good luck to walk to your manager to talk to them. Third, if you work in a corporate setting, you speak the same language as your manager. Well, spoiler alert, 65% of employees in the supply chain do not speak the language of the manager. And last but not least, when people get promoted in the corporate setting, I was lucky enough in my previous employer to be a high potential. I got groomed, I got trained, I got ready to go to the next level. The amount of money they invested in me to be a good manager was crazy. In the world of supply chain, you don't have the same luxury. Like you get promoted to be a manager and immediately you have to hit the ground running. And it's very unforgiving for you. So we need to make sure that anyone that is listening to this or in general in the world of supply chain, you have to really empower your managers to be people first, but have the mindset of a leader. And the difference I like to say is a manager will do the things right. A leader will do the right things. And that's a very big change in mindset.
Big, important distinction there. I can personally connect to having worked for both groups of people over my personal career. So I want to follow up with something a little bit, because earlier on, you were talking about the role of automation and maybe the perception of automation within the supply chain industry, and not even just supply chain, but the perception of automation inside of businesses. We hear a lot about it. I hear a lot about it. It's something that Oro Commerce is part of a sort of comprehensive solution to this for a lot of our customers because of the things that we automate. But I'm very curious to maybe move beyond some of the easy ideas about automation, because the easy idea about automation, I think, is I will fire a bunch of people and replace them with computers or robots or automated picking and packing and image recognition cameras that will go find the thing in the right bin and bring it back. And yet my reading of human history and technology is that usually when we have made a big technological leap, it is not that we have made people redundant or gotten rid of them. It's that we have blown past our ability to grow. If you go back and look at human technological history in the last couple of hundred years, especially every time there's been a big jump, right? It hasn't made life worse. It's made life better. And so I am curious, because the conversations on the business side that happen about automation are all about cost reduction. So I'd be curious to know, is the conversation still primarily about reducing cost, or is it about growth, or is it a mix?
So I think last year was all about cost cutting. Like 2023 was god awful. It was an overcorrection of about the very luscious year we had during the peak of COVID, because COVID is still there. I think the mindset has changed to more optimization of costs. And when I say optimization, it goes, if you think about automation, is making sure that people have tested different type of robotic and automation. Now they decided to go with one vendor, and they're going to invest in some very lucrative deals with one vendor over the next few years. Same with platform. Like we have that with some clients where we are sometimes the outlier, where they keep on board as part of not a large suite of product, but we see that they want to optimize costs and therefore reduction of platform use. And I think that's not going to change. When I think about automation, I think the warehouse with 0 person in and just like maybe a guard and a dog, I think is utopic at the moment. I still go to clients where they have literally machine automation that are staying idle on the side because, oh, well, the suction cup does not work on a new type of envelope. Or there is like a lot of excuses. And often, I don't think I've been to one warehouse with across all my clients where all the machines were running at the same time. There's always one that is not running and they're waiting for the tech. Or, well, this one cannot pick this type of a product that is currently on the line. But I think what automation will bring, however, is increased productivity to a whole other level, as long as everything fits in a nicely square box, if that makes sense. I think I shared with you an example where I went to a warehouse with one of my clients that showed me the new line that they got. And the plan was to go from a 600 people warehouse to a 300 people warehouse. And they showed me this new line. It was great. Of course, the line was not running yet, because one thing they realized was that the line was a bit too high and the boxes were a bit too low. And when they were dropping, it was breaking some of the packages. So they had to level it first. But then I went back a few months later and it shrank from 600 people to 950 people. So instead of going down by 300 people, it went up by 350. And the reason why is they became more productive. However, the rest of the warehouse was not fully automatized. So when you have the central piece that is going much faster, they needed more people to load the machine. They needed more space because everything was going through it so fast that they actually had more boxes ready to go. They needed more drivers because the box had to leave the floor much faster. They had people literally at the start of the machine to flip the boxes so that they can read the QR codes, which was something they didn't need before. So I think the idea of automation is going to replace people is unfounded. I think you're going to have some jobs that are going to be impacted, but this is where the opportunity is. Anyone that is going to the path of automation because they see it as a long-term investment, they have to make sure that they take on board their employees. Because one thing you don't want to have is dictating change. You want to take them on board in the journey, reassure them, make sure that actually now part of the training, we're going to upskill you. And another thing about automation that is really positive, like the new generation lacks gadgets, lacks technology. So you want to be attractive to them because soon I'm a millennial on the cusp, but my parents' generation are going to slowly leave the workforce. And these were actually the biggest addition to the manual labor. So you need more people. Like another data point that could be interesting to you, for every employee leaving the supply chain right now, only 0.6 are coming in. So you have a widening gap. You cannot overinvest in a new line for 4 months a year because you want to make sure you hit your quota and your targets for peak. That will make no sense financially. So in peak season, you're always going to hire more people. So the question you have to ask yourself is how both of them live together. And the best way to do that is to keep a pulse on your employees. How do they feel about the changes? How do they feel recognized and acknowledged in this new system? And this is where it's all a virtuous cycle. There are all different parts that have to talk to one another because the people that is purchasing the machines and the automation and the robot is not the same person that is hiring all this workforce. So how do they all talk together? You cannot work as a silo. You have to make sure that everything works in harmony.
That's absolutely true. And it's something that a lot of companies struggle with just because of the way that they grew organically over time. And I have seen a number of success stories over the years where companies that were experiencing growth figured out the problem of communicating cross-functionally across different lines so that the groups were talking to one another. And I can imagine in the story that you told about the warehouse that shrank from 600 to 900 people that some of those mistakes with the automation could have been avoided, possibly with more conversation from the people who were there at eye level looking at the actual equipment being installed, who were actually doing the work. That is a pretty good point. So we've talked a lot about automation. We've talked a lot about your product, about Butterfly, and how it facilitates sort of the information coming into decision makers, basically, to make decisions. So it builds a feedback loop, that a virtuous cycle, I think is what you called it. I love, by the way, that this is basically a TED Talk. Like, this is great. This is perfect. I would love to hear if you have predictions about where you think automation, and we haven't said AI outside of it's in the name of your product.
Yeah.
But I feel like what one must say AI on a podcast now in 2024. But what do you think we're going to see by the end of this year and maybe 3 years from now in terms of automation and the role of AI maybe in that automation for the people that we're talking about, manufacturers, distributors, anybody operating a warehouse or an assembly line or a factory floor? What do you think?
It's a tough question. To be honest, when we have AI in our title of a product as a company, often people are scared about it. AI is scary. Like when you realize that now you can create these videos on demand and they can just do in a snap of a finger, create almost a whole movie. It's scary. But the role of AI and technology in the world of supply chain, I think it's going to bring more transparency, more accountability at the same time. Because when you have transparency, you have to bring accountability. And I think you're going to have a lot about warehouses optimization. And it goes as well with cost optimization. Understand your cost, understand your business. And I think AI is going to be very good at identifying opportunities on how to spend less time, because in the world of supply chain, time is money. It could be in terms of how do you get items faster through the line or faster to the customer. And I think this is where we're going to see more and more optimization. Another thing that we should not downplay, the behavior of the buyer as well. The buyers become more and more conscious than they were before. I think environment is a very big component. Like I moved to the US about 9-10 years ago, and I became very accustomed to the next day delivery. And I personally see now that I don't need anything the next day anymore. I can wait a couple of more days. But if you think about it, this is going to impact costs for them because shipping is going to get lower. So I think where AI and automation and I would say robotics is going to play is about transparency. It's about accountability, like I said earlier. But all in all, I don't think AI is going to replace human. I think it's going to almost like give them superpowers.
I love the optimism. I think that's been the theme of the conversation is actually relentless optimism in the face of automation and AI taking all of our jobs. You heard it here. This is the Optimistic Futurist Podcast.
It is.
And now Oro B2B Uncut. So let me ask you, Simon, then the last serious question of the podcast, which is, if one of our customers or one of our listeners was to come to you and ask for advice on how to improve their employee engagement or retention, obviously you would tell them you should buy Butterfly, but you might give them something else. What else would you tell them besides obviously buying your product?
I would say invest in your managers, because your managers are the most important people. But why we are called Butterfly is because of the butterfly effect. Like, with a small flap of a wing, you can have a massive impact to the rest of the world. And if you think about this flap of a wing, it starts with managers. Like, statistics shows that managers are accountable for 70% of the team's engagement. So give them the right tools, the right skills, because when you give them the right tools and the right skills, they're going to be well equipped for the role. When they're well equipped for the role, they're going to engage their workforce, engage their teams. If you think about it, whoever is at some point customer facing, engage employees gives you engaged customers that impact your growth. Because if you enjoy what you are shopping, what you are doing, you're going to go back again and eventually your stock will go up. So I would say where to start from, start with providing the right information to your managers, empower them. But as well, when you think about the type of work they do, make sure that you allocate some time for them to spend with the team. If a manager is spending all day long in front of a desk just filling reports without having time to actually walk the floor, is going to be not paying the dividends that you want. That's one thing. The other thing is try to promote from within. It's very easy to hire managers and first level of managers outside. It's actually cheaper if you think of it. When I say cheaper, is you just have to pay for a headhunter that bring you profile and then you pay the headhunter. It's much more tedious to find the right person in-house to promote from within, because when you do that, you show everyone that is on the front line that actually there is no glass ceiling, that any opening that there is, one of them can actually fill in one day. If you hire from outside, you actually put this glass ceiling. You're never going to be higher than a lead. You're never going to be higher than a supervisor, because we're going to get our managers or GMs outside of the org. So I think it's very important to be transparent on the hiring process. Try to promote from within so that you can show people there is a path forward. That we talked about growth. The natural evolution from growth is career path. People want to know they have a future. That today they might not, if they are conscious about the salary, then you want them to know that there is a potential for them to stay longer at the company, get promoted, and get a bigger paycheck. Last but not least, is any type of relationship. Treat people like people, not numbers. One of the features we have on Butterfly, we call it nurture, and it's just to provide information, collect insight from the employees based on the employee journey. But one of the part that we have is we tell managers when is the birthday of the team members. Oh, today is Aaron's birthday. Why don't you go there and say happy birthday to them? This sounds very basic and very trivial, but we need to make sure that we put the human back in the middle of the people as well. Like, treat them like peace. Hey, Aaron, how are you doing? Well, congratulations, you've been here for a year. All of these make a huge difference when people are going to decide to walk the plank with a gun on their head or just walk the plank in the middle of a white room.
Perfect way to bring it back. I love that. And I would especially say that the promote from within resonates very strongly with me. I have seen so many examples of companies who did push the easy button by hiring a recruiter or simply a friend of a director or friend of a vice president, and completely bypass the workforce that you have. And it's so demoralizing to people when the premise is that if I work hard and I do a good job and I show up and I go above and beyond, I do get rewarded for that. And if you see that there's a completely separate track, there's a train that you can't get on, it makes you less likely to want to keep going. So this has been a fantastic conversation. It did not go everywhere I thought it would go. It went in some unexpected directions, which is fantastic. I love it when that happens. The final question to you then is not related at all. What's the best book, movie, TV show that you have consumed in the last few weeks that stood out to you? Not the best, not the your favorite of all time, just something lately that you like.
So it's a book called Dark Matter. The author is Blake Crouch, and it's a book about parallel universe. Not about time traveling, but it's about the different version of yourself at the same moment across a multi-layer universe. And I found it amazing because it goes back to the flap of a wing, to be honest. And I don't try to bring it back to Butterfly, but it's all about the decision that you make and how they impact you today. And I, 350 pages, consumed them in surprisingly within 3-4 days. And it's been a while I didn't read, pick up a book and I could not put it down. So yeah, that'll be the book.
Dark Matter. We don't have an affiliate link to put out or a coupon code to give you listeners to go buy Dark Matter from your book retailer of choice. But should you do and should you enjoy it, please let Simon and myself know. So we can pass that back. And maybe there's a future as a content reviewer, Simon, and you can earn some affiliate revenue, a revenue stream.
I dig it.
Every little bit helps. You have to optimize, right? That's the theme. Thank you so much for your time. This has been great.
Thank you.
Really look forward to seeing more from Butterfly and maybe spotting a butterfly around our client base at sometime in the not too distant future. So thank you again.
Great.
Thank you, listeners.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Tune in next time, which will probably be a couple of weeks from after you listen to this. We'll have another episode dropping. And thanks again. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to B2B Commerce Uncut, A Journey Through Change, powered by Oro. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. This episode is brought to you by Oro, a leading innovator and provider of customer-driven, powerful, and connected open-source software for B2B digital transformation. Oro seeks to build long-term, trustful relationships with its customers, integrators, developers, and technology partners by empowering people with the best tools to digitalize their business. Find out more at oroinc.com. That's O-R-O-I-N-C.com.